Mr. Martin, Real 4. Now, while you were doing your tank, your Royal Armoured Corps training at Catterick, what about actually, you mentioned driving the lorry, of course. What about driving tracked vehicles? Did they start you on that, either small tanks or Bren carriers or anything like that? Did they give you any training driving tanks?
Yes, we did a little bit of that, driving Valentine mainly. That was over the moors, and we'd have a rather short period. I felt myself that could have been, from my point of view, it could have been extended a bit. You didn't have enough training, I didn't think, that I sensed that was expected to be done when you went to your regiment, when you passed out and went to your regiment.
So you only got trained on the Valentine?
As far as I was concerned, yes.
What was the method of, just roughly, because I think we're going to come to some of this on the Sherman, and it's not that different. How did you drive a Valentine? What did you have to learn?
Well, you got to learn to control the gears, and you've got to learn how to turn the tank by using the levers to slow the tracks down. That was the important thing. And you've got to do it reasonably gently. If you did it too quickly, you have a tendency to take the track off, but you've got to be rather careful. As I say, I was a reasonable driver, but I would never consider myself to be a good tank driver. I was capable, but not brilliant. I felt that we could have done a little bit more with that. It was done basically to get you familiar with the techniques, how to do it, but you needed more practice, and it's only by more practice you become really good at that, because it's quite a business, tank driving. I thought it was a little bit short on that.
What about tank maintenance or vehicle maintenance, fitting? I mean, I know you weren't being trained as a fitter, but were you given an introduction?
Yes, we were given an introduction to the mechanics of the tank, the excited gears, and all sorts of peculiar names like that. You were shown the various parts. And there again, some chaps picked it up because they'd been garage mechanics and that sort of thing, and it was second nature to them. And they found it no problem at all. I found it rather difficult, actually. And I wasn't mechanically minded, sadly. Others found it very easy. But we were given the basics, certainly.
Did they introduce you to the sort of simple concepts of maintenance, because the sort of idea of the daily task, the weekly task, the monthly task.
Yes, you had a set scheme of maintenance and checking, but I left that when I went to Octu, because the crew, that was their job, and we always had on hand fitters who were available to do any major operations and maintenance. I found in the service units that the crews did the very simple tasks of checking, but when there was anything special to be done, the mechanics of the squadron did that.
Now, anything else about your RAC training? You've done the infantry basic training, then you go on to the armoured course, basically, driving, the rest of it. Anything else that you recall?
There was a selection for Octu.
When did that come in?
That came in towards the end of our basic training.
And that would be what month about? You went in March?
I went in March 42, and I went in October to Sandhurst. So we didn't work out from that. And I went for 3 weeks to pre-Octu, and I went for the War Office test to see our suitability for a commission.
So it would all start somewhere around August.
It would start about August, yes.
What made you think of a commission, or did you not? Did someone think of it for you?
It was suggested to me that I might like to think of a commission. The sergeant, when I took the drill, and I did it two or three times, and he said, I'm putting you through for a possible commission. Do you feel like it? I said, yeah, I feel it's worthwhile. He said, well, I'll put your name forward. and I had an interview with the colonel.
Now, how did that go, would you say? What was the interview like? What was he looking for? And
well, he was looking for, first of all, my record of my service in the training regiment. And he pointed out that my wireless was reasonable, but not outstanding. But my gunnery was very, very good indeed, and my driving was of a reasonable standard. But I was rather amused when he said, under my educational background, how was I going to manage my mess bills in the mess? And I said, well, as far as I understand it, I should be in the service unit and you're there to fight. I don't think I'll be spending much time in the mess. With respect, sir. I said, well, I suppose that's true. So that's how that passed on. So he said, well, you've been put forward for a commission. I shall recommend you for a War Office check.
So this is a War Office selection board,
selection
was it?
Board,
now,
right, yes.
Where was that and what happened?
I can't have a clue where it was. But you were there for about 3 days, I think. And you were given tests on the driving maintenance and gunnery. You were asked all sorts of questions, psychological, they were getting out there.
What sort of thing? It's a long time ago, but do you remember?
One thing I can remember, yes, it was yesterday. They showed you some pictures and you've got to say what impression you've got and feeling you've got when you saw that picture, you see. And one was the telegraph boy knocking on the door. And I was asked, what do you tie up with that particular photograph that you've just seen? I said, that is a telegraph boy taking the news of either a wounded son or husband or a missing son or husband to that home. Oh, why do you look on it in that light? It's perhaps a bit depressing. I said, well, it just so happens that my wife's cousin has just been killed in the Royal Air Force. He was a tail gunner, and that immediately came to my mind of his parents being informed of his death. And they accepted that as my logical reason for putting that answer to them. And that had just happened, just been killed in a Wellington coming back in Germany. I can't remember any other pictures, but that was what we did. And then we were given initiative tasks. You've got to get across rivers and things like that, and bridges. You've got to sort of try and show leadership qualities. And I got through those areas without any problems. I got through it anyway, and then I was sent to Preoctu.
Now, what was Preoctu?
Well, Preoctu was to train you further in advances in driving, gunnery, and wireless.
And where was it at? Do you remember?
Now.
Doesn't matter that much, actually.
No, I can't remember.
That's all right. So what did you do there then? I mean, what exactly, I mean, advances, but what advances?
They didn't really do much in the way of advances. They checked what I was capable of, and it seemed that I'd achieved the standard that they wanted. Because I was only there for about a couple of weeks, I think, and I was then said I was ready to go to Sandhurst. I was surprised how short it was, and I palled up with another chap from Liverpool who joined the regiment at Catterick the same day that I did, but we were in different squads entirely, and we used to see each other there.
Now, is this your friend that...
No, this is another one who was killed at the casino. This is another one altogether. The one that I kept in touch with after the war, he was in the Pioneer Corps. He wasn't with me at all. He was from school days.
No, I meant the one in your book.
I've
forgotten his name, just moments
ago. Cliff
Joyner. That's it.
Oh, that was Cliff Joyner, yes, that's right. I met him.
Because he was killed in your unit, which we're not going to go on to yet.
That's
but
right.
What was Cliff like? Because he seems to have been a friend of yours. Or certainly
yes, he was a good friend of mine. He was a pleasant character. He was a blonde, tallish lad. He had a bit of a limp, strangely enough. He'd been a bit of a footballer before. He played in Liverpool Reserve. And he was quite tall, pleasant lad. And he was a friend of mine, and we went to Preoctu together. And we're only there about a fortnight, or even less, I think. And he said, they're getting rid of us quickly, aren't they? I I said, yes, I know why it is. They're short of commissioned officers. So I said, no, put your estimates up too high. I said, we'll see how we go. Anyway, they checked on what we could do, and there again, we passed out quite comfortably.
So now you were going to the OCTU. You were going to Royal. Is it? It's not the Royal Military College, Sandhurst.
No, that's Sandhurst. That was
that's right.
So it's pre-OCTU.
I mean when you go to Sandhurst. That's what you attended, was it?
That was the one we went to after.
Yes,
that's
after the pre-OCTU. Yes.
Yes, we went to Sandhurst.
And that would be you went
October.
October 1942.
42. October 42.
And what about your training there? Was that what it was called? It was still just the Royal Military College? Because it had been taken over.
Royal Armoured Corps. Taken over by the Royal Armoured Corps.
Right.
Yes,
so it was their OCTU.
It was their OCTU.
Did it have a special name at the time?
No, just Royal Armoured Corps OCTU, Sandhurst.
And what reception did you get on arrival there?
A warm one. We were bussed there, all assembled there, under the trees, on the edge of the parade ground, watching the passing out parade of one of these squads there. And we watched them, drill and all the rest of it. Anyway, we thought we were here and made the best of it. And we watched the parade. We watched the adjutant ride up the steps on his white horse, and the parade marched off, and then we went on, and we were a right shamble after that, I'm afraid. But we managed, and we were then divided into groups. Cliff was with me, and we then had our instructors. There was a captain normally, I can't remember his name, but he was killed in Normandy, I know. He would have been a cricketer, county cricketer before the war. He was a very nice chap, actually, and he was our instructor. We were detached into squads, and he was our instructor. Well, we did drill by the sergeants, and it was good. And we doubled for the first 3 months everywhere we went. You got on parade, and you doubled to the gunnery wing, you doubled to the wireless wing. That's even fit. Snow on the ground, you were stripped to the waist during PE in the morning. Good, dear me. Yes, you were fit when you finished there. They let me play hockey one day. The games period, you've got to have to play games period. They let me play hockey one day, and I don't know, I got the ball, I went straight through and scored a goal. And they never let me play a game. Can't understand why. And then I played squash after that. Oh, it was funny. But the drill sergeant, I think it was Sam Main Britain, I think, he was a character.
Is that the famous Britain?
Famous
Britain. A very loud voice.
Loud voice. You could hear him from one end of the Sandhurst to the other. Oh, dear me, he had a terrific voice. He was good there. And the drill sergeant were all guards sergeants. By God, make a jump to it. And if you got a smut of blanco on the belt brass, which you hadn't polished off. Double parade for you Saturday afternoon. I got one once, and then I got one again. And that, when you got one, you doubled everything. Doubled your marching. Oh, dear me, it was terrible.
Did you still enjoy drill, even with this?
Yes, I enjoyed it. I didn't mind.
So it didn't put you off?
No, didn't mind. No, I didn't mind it. I could do it. Not a good thing. I could do it.
How did the instructors treat you? Because you were cadets, weren't you?
Yeah, we were cadets. Yes.
And they were NCOs.
Yes.
It's always a funny relationship. How did they treat you?
Sir. Sir, we were sir. You, sir. I want you to do this, that and the other. And there's no two ways about it. You've got to do it. And you'll come to the end of the book. And I've mentioned it in the book. And the sergeants would drill you. And you'd be up on your knees when you'd finish. And you've got some bright spark. You'd have a whale the night out in the town the night before. And the sergeants were wise. They were wise birds. They were really. They'd spot him. Sir! Can't drill the squad, because this poor chap staggered out. And he's standing there, bemused, didn't know what he'd got to do for a minute or two. And then the sergeant, sir, for heaven's sake, do something, even if it's wrong. Sir, for heaven's sake, do something. That was I always remember that, and that was one of their, you know, cliches. And he'd then bring out somebody who could drill them, you see. But that was the technique.
How did you were still all right at drilling, were you?
I was still all right.
I mean, you know, taking a drill.
I drill them all right, yes, there's no problem.
Now, what other sorts of training did you have, though?
Well, we were there for 6 months. We went in October, and we were out in May, so that's 6 months, isn't it?
Bit longer, but yeah.
Yeah, near enough, because you've got to leave in between, you see. It was 3 months in each. You did. Oh, lots of classroom.
What were you doing in the classroom?
Tactics. Infantry and tank tactics. You did field trips. You went out to identify distances, ranges. You did what were known as chutes. T-E-W-T.
Tactical exercises without troops. Now, what were the principles that were trying to get through to you, or if there were any general principles?
Well, the general principles were how you manipulate troops in the field, where you place them, how to look for ambushes, how to prepare an ambush. These are the things. Never sit on forward slopes. All that sort of thing, you see. You've got to... you think of self-preservation. You have to live to fight another day if you could. It wasn't always your choice, but if you could, you did. And these were the things that they tried to drill home. Our own chap, our captain, he was very keen on smoke. And we'd have a blackboard, and he'd put various positions on the blackboard. And he'd, loads of smoke, give it plenty of smoke, you'll get through the smoke without being seen. We used to rather laugh at him because he was always a great one for loads of smoke. Where we really had all these smoke bombs for was another matter, but he was very keen on smoke. We did these tactics on the blackboard, and he would ask for ideas and advice and any questions, and why don't we do this and why don't we do that. It was all theory, and we had notebooks which we kept. I still got mine down in the shed somewhere. And you made copious notes of all these various things. We had the lectures on shells, the various caps on the shells, the markings, armour piercing, high explosive, APHE, which is supposed to go in and explode inside, smoke shells. Gunnery. Oh, and then going on to the 6-pounder gun too. That was another thing. Step in the right direction. There was Churchill tanks, and we had Covenanters and Crusaders there, which were fast, but they were useless as armour, really. But they were very fast. When we had rather a peculiar, comical incident in a way, when we went to the tank park, I think it was the Crusader. It had a shocking gear lever. It wouldn't come out of second gear. And we got one poor chap who was ill to death. And the sergeant told him to get in. Got in, he was able to drive it. And he couldn't get out of second gear. Can't get out of second gear, Sarge. Get out and let me have a look at it. And the head is just at the back of the coping of the hatch. Sergeant gets hold of it. Hits his head on the back of the tank. He got the gear lever in his hand. I'll not say on the tank what he said about it, but what he'd love to do to the chap who made that tank. And he was twirling the lever around, and he got a lump on the back of his head, the size of an egg.
Was that a known fault with that tank? Which tank was that? That was a...
It was a Crusader, I'm sure.
Was that a known fault with a
Crusader? Yes, it was, yes. It was a bad second gear. Couldn't get it out of second gear. Dear me. I was a smart one, I think, with that chap. But those are the little incidents that, you think back on. But the tactics, we had loads of lessons on tactics, and we went out into the field, and we would look at the landscape and mark out targets and say how you would direct your gun onto that.
This is a tute and things like that.
Yes, that's right, yes. All sorts of things of that order to train you for commanding a tank and a troop, to get your troop to do what you wanted in the quick possible way, by what you might call a recognised routine method.
What about the importance of being hold down, which so a lot of people certainly...
There's hold down, turret down. Now, turret down means that the tank commander only can see over the hill. Nobody else can. You use that when you want to see what the landscape ahead of you is like, without exposing any bit of your tank. And you get your head just over and you can see the landscape. You earmark the positions that you feel will give you trouble. There might be an artillery observation officer in a house where you can see it standing on a hill. So that's one of the first things you must get your glasses on to see if you can see anything in the window. There may be shrubbery where a gun can hide, and you may mental note that that is the spot that you'll get your guns from. Now, having got that picture in you, mind, you then move up to what is known as hold down, so that only the gun can fire over the crest. He, the gunner, can then see what you can see. The driver can't, but the gunner can. And you say, before you move up, you warn him that there is a clump of trees to the left of the house, range so and so. Get under those as soon as we get to the crest. As we go up to the crest, he can see from his gun sight, where you're referring to, and he gets his gun trapped onto you as quickly as possible. And if necessary, you feel it necessary, you put a shot or two into those trees just to make sure there's nobody there. And also, you watch for the house. If you've seen any movement in the windows, then you can put a shot through the window, because that has happened in instances that you've seen before. But these are the situations. Turret down is when you can only see them over the hill. Hold down to them and don't.
Now, did you do much driving about, practicing getting into positions, you know?
At Sandhurst? Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, you had the tank training areas. There were quite a number, actually. Quite a number.
Were they nearby?
Yes. Yeah, Bagshot Heath and various places. Yes, we had training areas in the forest around there. There were what you might call well-worn, they've been used. They were not what you might call virgin areas where nothing had been. They've been used before.
Now, would the cadets be making up the whole crew of the tank, and you take it in turns to be commander, or were some tankies doing it?
No, there would be tank crews. The cadets would be actually driving the tanks and so on, but there'd be a qualified tank soldier in charge. Tank sergeant usually, and you would go out one day to have driving practice, and over these areas of wasteland, each cadet in turn would do a bit of driving. Now, you didn't do a lot of it, as I say, the essence of it, as far as I can see, was speed. You became competent and proficient, and once you achieved that standard, that was it.
Now, you felt you were a bit short of tank driving experience,
yes,
yourself.
Yes.
Did this overcome it, or were you still a bit short?
Still a bit short. it was basically because they wanted to get people through as quickly as possible. There was a great shortage, and they relied upon the service regiment, when you got there, to make up that deficiency.
They did,
because I'll tell you why. You were classified by your capabilities, driver operators, wireless operators, and if you were a very good driver, you were known, first of all, as a driver. So when the 10th Regiment wanted drivers, you were the best drivers there. Best runners, yes, they sent them. And you were sort of classified by the subject that you seemed to be best at. And that's how they went. And once you got to that regiment, then they put you through it. You were driving all the time. And that's the way they did it, to my way of thinking.
And you as an officer, would You wouldn't be driving a tank a lot.
No.
So you just needed a basic level, and you never went beyond that.
That was it, you see. I was good at gunnery, and I could set the guns and ranges, and I could get the crosswires and align the gun sights. So
would you do that when you were in Italy as well?
Yes.
We'll come back to that then. I should perhaps have picked that up, but we'll okay. So anything else about your training at the Octu?
At Sandhurst, yes. We then went on to gunnery. You did a session on gunnery, and you did a session on wireless. And there you did a lot more Morse, I noticed. They really put you through on Morse there. I wasn't very good on it. I did it, and I scraped through again. I wasn't good, and I would never expect to be put forward as a wireless operator or as an expert in wireless.
Now, your job, though, would be, as an officer, would be as using the A and B set and controlling the troop. Would they give you practice in controlling a troop?
Yes, we got that later on.
But not at Octu?
We got a little bit at Octu, but not a great deal, no. We got not a great deal. There's one example, the shortness. We were supposed to be able to ride a motorcycle. I was asked if I could drive a motorcycle. I said, no, never been on one. No. Come on then, this afternoon, motorcycle depot, filled up. Went there, Jack took me on a motorcycle, he showed me the elementary controls of the thing. Jump on. I followed him around the road. I've never been on one of these things before. I knew how to stop it where the gears were, and that was about it. And we went off. And we're down the road, went off the road on the field. So we stopped at the bottom, so we stopped. He said, you're going to do a hill climb now. I said, I've never been on one of these things before. Well, he said, don't worry, follow me. He went off up the hill. I went off up the hill. Got halfway up and I fell off. And that was it. So he said, I'm not going to do well, have you? I said, no. I said, don't expect to do with about 5 minutes on the motorbike. So he said, right. And went back again the next day, and he said, right, get on that bike, start her off. So I did this, shot up a bank, the thing was in gear. Fell off at the top, as you can well imagine. So he said, I don't think you'd better do any more motorcycling. He said, when you get to your regiment, I should leave off them too. I said, don't worry, I shall do. It's the last thing I want to get on. But that was the funny part of my motorcycle riding.